This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But everything else costs more. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system that brings accounting, financial management, inventory, HR onto one platform. It reduces IT costs, and over 37,000 companies have already made the move. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's the final hour on this Monday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show, best and worst of the weekend. We'll get to your phone calls. Operator Tyler standing by. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, @DP Show. Stat of the day is always brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Speaking of stat of the day, Anthony Davis took advantage of a smaller Minnesota lineup last night. No Karl Anthony Towns, no Rudy Gobert. He scored 27, grabbed 25 rebounds. Davis, the first Laker with at least 25 points, 25 rebounds in a game since
Dan Patrick shut the hell up.
Shaq had 31 and 26 back in 2004.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. That's sort of the frustration I have with Anthony Davis, is we know what he can do. We tend to focus on what he doesn't do. And you watch last night. Now, granted, you're not playing against Rudy Gobert, maybe the defensive player of the year, Karl Anthony Towns. And he puts up these kind of numbers. And I've said for many years now, he was Giannis before Giannis, the big guy who could do everything at both ends of the floor. Well, Anthony Davis also had 7 steals, 5 assists, 3 blocks. The first player since the NBA began officially tracking stats as, you know, steals in 1982 to have those numbers. So the first to have 25, 25, 5 steals, 5 assists. The NBA started keeping track of steals back in 1982.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day,
stat of the day.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day.
If I would have told you, let's say 3 years ago, you know what's going to happen to Russell Wilson? He's going to get traded from Seattle, and it's going to be a terrible trade. One of the worst trades in NFL history. He'll be there a couple of years. He'll be blamed for everything, and then he'll be let go. Pittsburgh will sign him for $1.2 million. Denver will have to pay $39 million. Sure, yeah, I'll believe that. Hard to picture that. Now, if you would have said, you know, Mac Jones, top 15 pick, in a couple of years, he'll be traded for a 6th-round pick and end up in Jacksonville, which is his hometown. I might be able to buy into that a little bit, but let's say after his rookie year in New England, and I would say, and they made the playoffs, I believe, that rookie year, and I would have told you, you know, he's going to get released in a couple of years. He's going to be a 6th-round pick. That's what you get. It's almost like being released, but they're going to give you a 6th-round pick. Jacksonville. And that's it. This is a guy who was being mentioned a few years ago, 2021, by the San Francisco 49ers. that maybe Kyle Shanahan, quarterback whisperer, was going to take Mac Jones. There's a lot of conversation. Mac Jones instead of Trey Lance. That probably would have been a better decision than what happened with Trey Lance. But Mac Jones, now a sixth-round pick behind Trevor. So Trevor Lawrence was in that 2021 draft. He's the only one who's going to be with his team of all of those quarterbacks taken in the first round. He'll be the only one. I don't think Justin Fields is going to stay with Chicago. But I am wondering how many teams are going to be interested in Justin Fields as a starter. If, let's say, Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta, well, that hurts Justin Fields. He's from there. That'd be a fun roster to be the quarterback of. But let's say Kirk Cousins stays in Minnesota. Then is Justin Fields going to go to Atlanta? That seems to be it. And I don't know if Minnesota's interested in him. I have a source who's a scout and says Minnesota and J.J. McCarthy, they see that as a real possibility. Does Minnesota select before Denver does? Can you check to see if that was the case? Yeah, Paulie.
Minnesota has the 11th pick. Denver has the 12th pick.
Yes, and I was told, and keep this in mind, that when it comes to Sean Payton and quarterbacks, he was going to take Patrick Mahomes when he was in New Orleans, and Kansas City went up and leapfrogged him. And they took Mahomes with the pick before the Saints with Sean Payton. Is J.J. McCarthy going to go to Minnesota if Kirk D. Cousins goes to Atlanta? But sort of the quarterbacking news right now, and then you have Russ with Pittsburgh. It's a one-year deal. It doesn't cost them anything. The question is, does Mike Tomlin want to coach anymore after this? I believe he has one year left, and usually you don't have coaches who you want to keep that only have 1 year left on their deal. But I don't know if Mike wants to do it, or maybe, I mean, he's already got a Hall of Fame resume, and then he could go into TV if he wanted to. The fact that Mike Tomlin is only 51 is what's pretty amazing.
He won a Super Bowl at age 36.
And that might be a situation where he does 3 or 4 years of TV, and then maybe at 54, 55 decides, hey, you know what? I'm going to coach again. You know, we see these coaches now. They burn out, and then they don't fade away. They come back, and then he might have a second half of that career. But if you have a one-year deal, and you're looking at the upside of Kenny Pickett, or I can get Russell Wilson. Well, Kenny Pickett's still under contract, and maybe he learned something under Russell Wilson. And then maybe is your starter the following year. Maybe Russ playing for a contract with somebody else, and he gets a great opportunity because you're on a good team that can be a great team, and he could be the difference there. All right, Randy in Pennsylvania leads us off this final hour. Hi, Randy.
Good morning, children. God bless you all.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. We'll stay topical with Mr. Wilson going to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. They got him on the cheap, I think. Yeah, he's got some mileage on him. I think there's a couple, one, two good years there. But what a mentor he's going to be, don't you think?
I hope. I mean, really, that's if you're going to have him in there, does he understand his role to help Kenny Pickett? Now, quarterbacks will tell you, that's not my job. Brett Favre wasn't his job. Aaron Rodgers was Zach Wilson. I don't think he thought it was his job. You know, quarterbacks who were established, they're like Joe Montana, his job was not to mentor Steve Young. They just don't do it. It's hard enough to do it. Now you want me to teach you while I'm doing it. And I don't know if that'll be the case with Russ. I hope it is, because he could impart a lot of wisdom. Things to do and not to do. How to act and not how to act. Yeah, Marv.
So what about a case like John Kitna when Carson Palmer got drafted by the Bengals? All right, I know I'm going to start for a year, and then I'll mentor Carson Palmer and kind of groom him into being a top-level quarterback.
Well, they took Carson Palmer number one overall. So John Kitna, the handwriting was on the wall. He knew it. The question is, I don't know how much guidance he gave Carson Palmer. I don't know if I've asked Carson about that. But Kitna, I think they went 8-8 that year. the Bengals may be in his last year starting before Carson Palmer took over. I think they were 8-8. Yeah, Paulie.
You're correct. Kitna was 8-8 in the starter. He had 26 touchdowns that year.
Yeah. And then it's tough because it's like, no, we can't pass this up. We're getting Carson Palmer. And then, you know, John Kitna was done there. All right, some phone calls.
He was comeback player of the year and then lost his job.
Yes.
He was comeback and then went back.
Brandon in Tallahassee. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, DP, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, two things your listeners need to know I don't think you've mentioned.
Mm.
We need to know if the guy who had that two-hour penalty ended up winning the Iditarod, or maybe it's still going on. And what about Liam Neeson? Is he going to star in this movie, or what's up with that?
Oh, you know, I'm trying, Brandon. I tried to get a hold of my Hollywood friends, and I wanted to run it by Sandler. But Sandler's in London doing a movie with George Clooney, and I wanted to ask him, hey, what do you think about this Liam Neeson an Iditarod movie called Iditarod, starring Liam Neeson? And did the guy who got penalized 2 hours for not dressing a moose correctly, did he win, Paulie?
Yes, Dan, he has not won yet.
Oh, okay.
His name is Dallas Seavey, again, a legend in the mushing community.
Mm.
He is back in first place. He's in a town called Shakfulik. I think I'm pronouncing that right. And they're at a layover right now, but we'll keep an eye on that story.
Okay, thank you. Some of our best people are on that.
Yep, and me.
Joey in Minnesota. Hi, Joey. What's on your mind today?
Hey, bud.
Yep.
FDLP, 6 foot, 165. Just kind of wanting some info. I'm here in Minnesota, and I want to know what St. Patrick's Day is going to be all about here. Well, who's coming, what time, where I need to be to see you guys.
Seton, do you have some of the itinerary that we can share with the audience? We'll be in Minneapolis. Seton and Paulie and myself, I think Dylan, the graphics guy.
Oh, boy. I think so, yeah.
And P.A. Ray are going to go. But we're going to go to Keeper's Heart, the distillery.
Yeah, I think the plan is right now you're going to do the parade, be the grand marshal, so we're all walking in the parade. Hello.
Okay.
Yeah, then we end.
Do I get a sash? Do I want a sash?
Well, you're the grand marshal.
I want a
you're,
sash.
You're damn right you better get a
and
sash.
And I'd like a decorative cane, if I could, and maybe some kind of crown.
Then there's, I believe it's St. Paul Stadium, maybe.
Okay.
There's a hooli is there. It's like Irish stuff, dancing and whatnot, music, all of that. I'm going to go do that. I think there's a pub crawl after, so we'll probably be around town a little bit.
Okay.
And then I believe the festivities end early after, you know, late afternoon, early evening back at the Keeper's Heart Distillery.
That's a long day.
It's a full day.
That is a full day.
As St. Patrick's Day should be.
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day, you should wake up the next morning and know you've been somewhere.
I want to make sure I wake up the next morning.
Yeah.
That's really the key.
Well,
it's
no guarantees.
Okay. All right. So we'll be in Minneapolis for St. Patty's Day. Seton and Paulie and myself.
Yeah.
Spencer in Omaha.
And me too.
Hey, Spencer.
Hey, Dan. First time, 6 foot, 180. A best of the weekend. Husker basketball making the 3 seed. Fred Hoiberg, possible coach of the year.
Mm.
And always repping the jersey on the back of Marvin's chair.
Mm-hmm.
Worst of the weekend, Duke basketball. I haven't heard John Shire really come out and comment on all their crazies throwing stuff on the floor. And then I also had a second best of the weekend. The Bears are staying in Chicago. I'll hang up and listen.
All right. That's right. The Bears are not going to go to the suburbs. They might build a dome over Soldier Field. Now, they've already refurbished, remodeled Soldier Field. They had the old stadium, and then they put like a spaceship type of stadium in there. Now they're going to put maybe a dome. Okay. The identity of your team. How much of that is attached to the weather? Green Bay, they could never have a dome. Buffalo, I don't think they could have a dome either. But if you're, like Minnesota didn't have a dome, and now they do, and now people probably don't even realize that they used to play open-air stadium. Can the Bears go dome? What does that do to the Bears? Does it change your identity, Paulie, if you're a Bears fan and now there's a dome?
I think it does quite a bit. I don't think the fans in any way would want a dome. It's really not that cold in Chicago in winter in December. It's not. Believe me, they don't play in January, so we don't have to worry about that.
All blue.
No offense, but like If they happen to play in January and it's cold, well, what is that? Once every couple of years?
Yeah.
No big deal. Yeah, they can't, and they also can't completely tear down the old stadium because it's the some of it is a historical landmark, so they could tear part of it down.
Well, I would think the exterior part of the stadium is a historical landmark.
It is, yeah. And it's on Park District property, so they can't do that. But yeah, they're talking about a dome stadium. The Bears would invest $2 billion, and some publicly fund it.
Okay, when I was younger, I would probably say, no, we don't want a dome. Now that I'm older, I'm like, hell yes. You mean I can be inside, climate controlled?
How about this?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
What if you did retractable and made it a concert venue that you could have concerts in the cold weather of Chicago, which is 6 months a year, but you could still have open air for generally nice days or even cold days for football 8 days a year and make it a multi-use venue?
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. And I would want to have multi-use stadium there.
And the retractable, you know, you don't really even have
I don't know how much that cost.
Yeah, put it on the tab.
I know, but that we always go, yeah, what about a retractable roof? I mean, I don't know how much that cost, but...
Yeah, but they're rarely paying for it anyway.
Yeah.
Oh. No, that is true. Yeah.
And the White Sox are supposed to put something just south of it, supposedly.
What is the shelf life for a stadium now?
25 years? Seven?
It just feels like we build them to then tear them down. And imagine if they did that. Fenway would have been torn down. Lambeau would be torn down. If you're using that today's mindset of, we need to upgrade it. We need to have suites. We need to have all the amenities that everybody else has. So you would tear down Fenway. I mean, they did tear down Yankee Stadium, the original one. But Lambeau, they wouldn't do that. Yes, Mark?
That happened with Turner Field in Atlanta. I remember going...
Well, it's not quite the same as Lambeau.
Well, no. I'm saying the shelf life for a stadium. That was built for the 1996 Olympics, and it's gone. The Braves have a new stadium.
Yeah.
So that shelf life wasn't even 30 years.
Well, they moved out to the suburbs. But I remember going to Fulton County Stadium. And although it wasn't a great ballpark, the location was great. And then they built another one, and then they went out to the suburbs. It's like 25 years is sort of the, how long do the Rams Chargers Stadium, how long does that last? I mean, that thing cost, that was like $1 billion over the actual cost or something. How long does that last?
Something else is in the works.
25 years, will that be around? I won't know, but, if somebody else can remember me posing this question when they say, we got to get a new stadium here. Yeah. Yes, Mark, what do you think?
25 years would be
so
gone.
SoFi, in 25 years, will SoFi still be around?
New technology, it'll probably be gone, unfortunately.
All right, let me take a break. We are going to visit with our good friends from Entertainment Tonight. Kevin Frazier and Nichelle Turner. They were there at the Academy Awards last night, and as they were so gracious last year to sum everything up, they will join us after this Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. More phone calls coming up. They are the stars of entertainment tonight. Kevin Frazier, Nichelle Turner joining us. They were covering the Oscars, the red carpet, backstage. Great to have them on again, looking gorgeous as always, and Kevin as well. And thank you for joining us. Nichelle, let me start with you. The highlight of the night was who or what?
Well, Dan, here's the thing. I'm a little like verklempt that the highlight of the night for me was the I'm Just Ken performance by Ryan Gosling. Kudos to the Ken doll that you got there. Because think about it, Dan, the Barbie movie was about the patriarchy and how as women we always have to take the backseat to men and we always want to be liked and we have to twist ourselves into a pretzel to be seen. And we're talking about Ken this
All
morning.
Award season you've been talking about, Ken. All award season.
But it was phenomenal. I mean, the way Ryan leaned into the absurdity of it all was just incredible.
I can't imagine how he felt in that moment because that crowd, not easy to entertain that crowd.
No.
But you're right. He leaned into the campiness of it. And then you bring Slash out there with his guitar solo. And I thought it was... I thought I was going to cringe, and then it was done, and I go, damn, they pulled it off. What about you, Kevin?
We've been waiting all award season for that moment, and we've asked Ryan so many times about it, and everybody involved, and everybody has been, it's been mummed the word. But as we saw all the Kens coming down the carpet, we knew something was up. And the famous Kens, we were like, okay, here we go. Mark Ronson just came out and told us it's going
to
be spectacular.
Yeah, he said the gig is up, the Kens are here, we're about to wreck the stage.
Yeah, and Valerie Bertinelli was gushing about Wolfgang Van Halen, her son, so she just told us everything too. So I thought that was a great moment. I also loved the John Cena moment because the fact that he leaned into being naked. I mean, I was like, John, are you naked? I mean, he did have on a little something. It was, Nichelle is calling it underwear, but I'm calling
it like a banana hammock, Dan.
It was, Dan, there was barely nothing there.
Yeah, that's what the man had on.
There was nothing there.
It was flesh-colored, a little bikini, string bikini underneath it. But they had it placed very low. I didn't know what was happening behind that envelope.
Well, you are a great reporter, so I'm sure... Sure, you investigated. Yeah.
If I'm being honest, I was trying to get a peek.
Okay. So was I.
Right. Yeah. Everybody was. Everybody wanted to know what was going on.
The man wore Birkenstocks on the Oscar stage. I mean, how do you know?
Okay. Now, we discussed, was it a little desperate on his part? I felt like if I had a body like that and I had a moment like that and I basically wear a Speedo to work when I wrestle.
Right.
So this wasn't much of a change for him. But
the man had muscles on muscles. If I had a body like that, y'all couldn't tell me nothing. I'd be walking around here.
I just want to say this:
dental floss and high heels. You couldn't tell me nothing.
And Michelle, here's the funny thing: it is heyday. Dan would have rocked that if they had said, "Hey, Dan."
Oh, you know Dan would have done it.
He would have done on a 6 o'clock sports on a 6 o'clock sports center. Dan, you're going to do it just to mess with Keith. Just to mess.
No,
with
no, Dan. The 11 o'clock. I would have done it, not the 6 o'clock. Kev,
the kids were still up at 6.
Yeah,
o'clock.
Yeah. 11 o'clock.
He said the 11 o'clock. He didn't say the late night 2 a.m. sports.
No, no, no. I don't want to. Like, no. I'd be asleep.
He never had to do that.
Yeah, I'd be asleep. But
so wait, what was the? What did you guys think? Do you guys believe it was a little desperate? Was it split over there?
Okay, who thought it was desperate? Seton
thought it was desperate.
It's a little desperate.
Seton and Marvin thought it was a little desperate. Yeah,
he's not comfortable with him. Seton's not comfortable with himself. That's what I'm wondering.
I'm actually more comfortable with myself. I don't have to walk around naked all the time to get all this attention. I'm very secure in myself.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, John Cena he said people can see him. You know, he says you can't see me. Yes, you can. You can see it all tonight.
And they saw it all.
Absolutely. Is Oppenheimer an all-timer?
No. No. I'm going to come around. It's a movie about physicists, first of all.
Right.
And they made a very, very good movie, but it is not one of those movies I feel that will last and hold up with time. I feel that American Fiction will get better with time. Mm-hmm. I feel that Barbie will always be a campy, fun movie the kids will discover over and over again. Those two really stuck out.
Okay, can I tell the truth the day after this, since we're done pretty much with award season? It took me two times to get through Oppenheimer.
I haven't gotten through yet, Michelle.
Okay. No. It took me twice to get through it. Christopher Nolan knows how to make a movie. So you appreciate it for what it is, because the man just knows how to make movies, right? But it was a little tough for me to get through. And I had, you know, Poor Things for me was my favorite movie of the year. I thought it was incredible. It was bawdy. It was campy. It had message. Emma Stone was ridiculously good. It was original. And so it was, I'm a little biased because I leaned into that heavily.
And we have debated about that heavily on our set about that movie. But I do think that Christopher Nolan knows how to make movies for the critics, that the critics love.
Well, but that made voters The Dark Knight.
Love. Like, the voters love. And that Dark Knight got a lot of love.
He made Memento. Come on. I mean,
got a lot of love.
You know, yeah, and they're those great movies. That got
love. Yeah, but he made $1 billion. Like, that's different than making something for the critics.
That's true.
No. Barbie made $2 billion, and he wrote off the bat. They were right when they said that Barbie surfed the wave. I mean, that Oppenheimer surfed the wave that Barbie laid down. You have to remember, they wanted to get people back to the movie theaters.
But Tom Cruise
and so they put them
that.
Together.
Tom
they
Cruise
put those
did that
movies together.
Tom Cruise showed up with the two movie tickets and said, I'm going to see them both in one night. So that was like a Tom Cruise creation to get people back to
but
the
But it
movies.
Became Barbenheimer.
Because of Tom Cruise.
Well, it was also genius marketing by the company. Everybody leaned into it. They were like, go see both of these. Go back to the movies. We want you back.
He's Kevin Frazier. She's Nichelle Turner, Entertainment Tonight co-host.
We're having an argument on the Dan Patrick
Show. I like that. I like that. American Fiction.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Incredible movie.
I watched it in a theater in New York. I was the only person in there.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And I didn't know much about it. I came out, I've told everybody, even people who don't want to hear, I've just said, it is so sneaky great, and it's not fair to say it's sneaky, it's just great. And I came out of that movie and I went, damn, they told a story. They told a story in a way.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you.
Yeah, they did it. He did a wonderful job, and I—that's the movie that you're kind of rooting for. It was a underdog.
His first movie, 40-year-old kid like guy making his first movie, and
wins an Oscar.
Right, and he takes like the perennial great character actor in Jeffrey Wright and makes him a leading man in this movie, and they tell the tale of the American experience that a lot of us have that we just don't see on screen.
And Sterling K. Brown in this
movie. Oh my God.
It was such a departure. and you know what? You watched him. He was so emotional at the show. He has been emotional about that role all award season long because it is a special role to him.
I mean, it was such a word of mouth movie. When I came out of it, I'm like, how come nobody told me Sterling K. Brown just stole everything about this
movie?
Every
scene.
No one told me he was that great. He was like under the radar through a lot of the award season. And then all of a sudden it was like, boom, here's an Academy Award nomination for you.
And Jeffrey Wright was wonderful as well. I really enjoyed it. Who got snubbed last night? Biggest snub was who or what?
Okay, well, Lily Gladstone. I thought it was a moment.
Yeah, we'll fight about this.
It was a moment to fix what happened at the Academy Awards back when Sasheen Littlefeather was snubbed for grabbing Marlon Brando's or not accepting Marlon Brando's Best Actor Award.
Yeah.
And here you have a great story, an important story, and an important moment. And I thought that Lily Gladstone should have won. And you loved Emma Stone in that role.
I thought Emma Stone was the best performance of the season in any movie. And this is why art is subjective. Yes, Killers of the Flower Moon is an important movie that needed to be told and was told very well. They did an amazing job in that. And we need to still tell the story of the indigenous people and what they went through in this country. I just don't. Either way, I thought it would have been great. I mean, I didn't, you know, so I don't think it was a snub. I don't think it was an upset. I think it was just a pick. And they were both incredible performances. Lily Gladstone was the heart and soul of that movie.
Yeah.
But Emma Stone, like, she took a blank canvas and created something we had never seen.
Okay, but how can you say that, and then we look at Greta Gerwig standing in the front row, not even getting nominated, and she created an incredible world for Barbie, an incredible Barbie world.
Yes, but the prototype was there, and if you are a little girl who grew up in the Barbie world and also who grew up in this country, that story has been told. She magnified it and brought us the story of the patriarchy, but it wasn't a new
tale. We're still talking about Ken. Look how we're still talking about Ken.
Well, but that's what the movie was
about. The Frankenstein story is not new. It's just a twist.
But that wasn't the Frankenstein story.
It was basically.
It was not the
Frankenstein. See, this is what I want to tune into on Entertainment Tonight. Like E.T. After Hours, where you're really being honest instead of...
This is what you get from us for real.
No,
on a daily basis.
And our sports takes are better.
I was going to say, especially when we're talking about sports.
We talk about sports? Ooh.
Dan, this is the best time of the year coming up, March Madness.
Come on.
This better than in the fall? So if I gave you September, let's say I gave you October, or I gave you March, April. I'll give you March, April.
Baseball was my first love, so that's tough, but... I grew up loving college sports so much, and especially college basketball. I grew up, you know, in a college town. And so for me, for this is my time of year.
Okay. Jan, to explain how much she loves college sports, she's a season ticket holder at Mizzou
for basketball. And volleyball and baseball now.
Yes. Okay, so she's deep in it. I mean, especially the way they're handling things in the SEC right now. It ain't pretty. Yeah. But anyway, I do want to say March Madness trumps everything because this year especially, there is so much parity in college basketball. Anybody can come from anywhere. You look at like USC beating Arizona in the Pac-12 in the Pac-10 tournament, which I mean,
and the Pac-10 game is ridiculously great
basketball.
Right now.
Oh my God!
Come on.
Shout out to my guy Vic Schaefer and what he is doing at Texas, losing his best player, and they are still rolling through the Big 12. Shout out to them. Caitlin Clark, the LSU South Carolina game. I mean, the women's game is incredible right now.
It is. It's better than the men's game in college basketball.
It is. It is. But they stay. So we're familiar with these players the men.
Good point.
One and done. Okay.
Good point.
Thanks for joining us. I'm not sure what we solved here, but we got to spend time together. And one of these.
Dan, which one did you like better, Lily Gladstone or Emma Stone?
Lily. I was shocked that she did not win, and I think she was shocked that she didn't win as well.
She did, and we did see behind the scenes Martin Scorsese go up to her and console her after, you know, the announcement because she was. I mean, of course you're going to be heartbroken and dejected. They had watch parties in her hometown for her. I mean, of course it's going to happen.
I'm being yelled at.
Oh, sorry.
By somebody on your end that I have to go.
These guys, we're on Dan's show.
Kevin Frazier is the boss over here.
We're on Dan's show,
guys.
We're on the Dan Patrick show. Come on
this
now.
This is the patriarchy.
Dan, we're about to play the music like a speech that goes on too long.
Oh, that kind of music. Oh, yeah. Yeah, like you're going too long with your speech there.
Exactly.
Dan, but we will. I am mourning this morning the law, Lily Gladstone's loss.
Understood. I get it.
And that's it. We'll say goodnight. And one of these days, Kevin, I'm going to be on Entertainment Tonight with Nichelle for one show.
Okay. Come on.
All right.
Please.
While tomorrow, I come and do the show.
You do the show, and I'm going to be on Entertainment Tonight.
How about you come and do the show with Kevin, and I come do your show?
Well, oh wow!
Heck yeah!
That's kind of
Heck yeah!
That's awkward. I'd love for you to do it, but I would prefer to co-host with you, Nichelle.
Dan, you've co-hosted with men your life.
I know.
What's the problem? Okay? I know. Don't disrespect Keith and Stu and Rich and me.
All right, we gotta go, and that is it. And we say goodbye, Nichelle and Kevin. Thank you. They're still talking. They're still talking. They were telling, see you guys. They were giving us a rap, you know, like, come on, like, tell them to shut up. I go, okay, tell them to shut up. Kevin Frazier, Nichelle Turner. Whew. Yeah. I have to admit, didn't get through the killers of the Flower Moon. I didn't get through Oppenheimer, and I didn't make it through Barbie. Not exactly, and I am a member of the Screen Actors Guild, and they do send me these movies. Yes, Mark?
We should have Nichelle and Kevin come back for college basketball analysis, because they look like they could have stayed for another hour and talked.
Yes, Paul?
Okay, I saw the movie Oppenheimer. Now, it's a very deep topic, and it's a slow burn, and it takes a long time. Is there a difference between great filmmaking and enjoyable movies?
Yep.
Oh, yes. Oh,
because yeah. I respect the heck out of that
movie. How many movies can you watch again?
Remember the Elvis movie you guys recommended a couple years ago? Is it Baz Luhrmann?
Yeah.
I didn't recommend that.
Oh, okay. I think Fritzy did. I think that's exceptional filmmaking. I don't think I'd watch it again, and I didn't love it, but I was really impressed by what he put together. I'm really impressed. Yeah. But I didn't love the story. Mm. I didn't advance the story for me about Elvis.
I didn't like Tom Hanks in that movie.
I don't like Tom Hanks.
Yeah. I guess the prosthetic that he, like his face and look like.
What if I said that was Tom Hanks?
Yeah, Tom Parker. Yes. Yes, he.
Yeah, Oppenheimer is a great movie to watch. Like, it's great filmmaking, but it's a tough slog to get through. Like, I just went this weekend to go see Dune 2.
Yeah.
And because I wanted to see it on a big screen, like IMAX or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. It was great. It was slow and like just it took forever. It was a long ass movie, but it was enjoyable and it looked great. It was like this great piece of filmmaking. But man, is it a 3-hour movie is a long time to sit through.
Okay. It feels like that there's stuff that we'll see on Netflix that are series and then we have long movies. Feels like 3-hour movies or you have something that's chopped up into 8 episodes.
It's like movies haven't figured out how to compete with series right now, and so instead like a series will give you a great 45 to hour 15 and it always leaves you hanging where you're like, dang, I gotta get the next one, and then you're binge watching. And I can easily sit and watch 3 hours of a TV show going episode than I can through a 3-hour movie, because they're not structured the same way. It's like a 3-hour movie, it doesn't have a hook or a twist or a turn at every 60-minute mark that keeps you like, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened. Now I have to sit here for the next hour.
Well, a number of these shows, Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, always had something that, okay, I could watch for 30 minutes, and then it gave me a reason to want to come back and watch the next episode. You don't really have those twists in a movie where you have to wait because it's all right there. It's just one big serving, as opposed to, hey, a bite-sized portion here, I'll come back. Come back, maybe you have to wait a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, like Breaking Bad would be 46 minutes, and the end would have a crescendo and leave you wanting to watch another 46 minutes. A 3-hour movie, there's a lot of setup.
Yes, Todd.
Does the Academy think the longer the better, or do the movie companies think that that's the better chance to win an award? Like when we were kids in school, if you write a 10-page paper, you're going to get an A, even if it's all about quantity and not quality sometimes?
I don't know.
Seems like they take those more seriously. Oh, it's a 3-4-hour epic. This must have a little more weight than your regular hour and 38-minute movie.
Oppenheimer made $1 billion. So somebody was interested in sitting for 3 hours. Yeah, Seton.
And, you know, not for nothing, but, like, it was just me and my son, and the tickets were $40. And then we each got a soda and a popcorn, and that was $40. So it's kind of like, well, at least we got 3 hours of movie out of it. Yeah. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That's a, to me, that's not cheap. That's an expensive day out, you know?
Yep. Marvin, did you have something to say?
Yeah, when you're like a big-time actor, say like a Brad Pitt, a Sandler, or anybody like that, Leonardo DiCaprio, do you think those guys are looking for, all right, we did the big popcorn movies that made a bunch of money. Am I ready to... I'm looking for a Oscar-type performance, like in a movie.
Well, I think Sandler is. I think he's, you know, he's done all of these Sandler-like movies. That's why he's working with other people. And he should have been nominated for Uncut Gems. He was spectacular in that movie.
That's another movie that's, it's very good.
I don't know if I could watch it again.
I didn't enjoy the film. It's not something I want to watch again.
That was tense. Uncut Gems, that was tense. All right, let me take a break. I don't know what we solved here, but, like some of the movies, we spread it out, went a little bit longer than we needed to. So let's take a break. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow, right after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You've probably put this off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has the tires that will elevate your game. Touring tires for commuting comfort. How about performance tires for sporty handling? All terrain if you're going on and off-road adventuring. Go to TireRack.com and get started. You're not sure where to begin? I suggest the easy-to-use tire decision guide. Get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Toyo tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They bring the tires to your home or office and install them on site. Go to TireRack.com/Dan. You'll see the Toyo test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Paulie, did we find out if the DraftKings odds for the Steelers to win the division, is this accurate that after they got Russell Wilson, DraftKings said they're plus 1,000?
It doesn't appear overnight that they have changed. We're waiting to see if they update their odds, but either they didn't change them, they didn't change it, one of the two.
Wow.
They may not have changed in a positive way.
Wait, I was going to say, if they didn't change and you got Russell Wilson, that's not good. By the way, I just saw this story, SI.com. The Cowboys are very receptive to the idea of re-signing Tony Pollard, a source tells CowboysSI.com. Okay. I mean, fine. He made $10 million last year under the franchise tag. He's not going to get that this year. And he's only 26. I don't know if you're going to spend a little more, maybe spend around the same and go get Saquon Barkley. All right. Michael in Tucson. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind today?
Hey, DP.
Hey, bud.
First time, long time.
Yeah.
So my best of the weekend was seeing you in person down here in Tucson. It was good to, you're a pretty funny guy. And the worst was you getting cut off by the moderator during mid-sentence.
Oh, yeah. I kind of had to be there to see that. Yeah. Had fun at the Festival of Books in Tucson. I met a lot of wonderful people there. Do we want to play the Kirk Cousins game?
We should, because free agency is heating up. We played the Russell Wilson game on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very simple game. Who wants to play?
All right, Todd. Kirk Cousins ends up where?
He remains with the Minnesota Vikings.
All right. Seton O'Connor. Kirk D. Cousins ends up?
Okay, fine. I'll bite. The Falcons.
Okay. McLovin?
Mc who?
Oh.
I'm sorry. Were you calling me McLovin because I said Falcons, or are you saying that to Marvin?
Yeah, because I was thinking Falcons, and McLovin always said that.
Oh, okay.
All right. McMarvin?
Falcons.
Okay. Paulie?
Falcons.
I'm going to go Falcons, too. Although, man, he's passing up some great receivers in Jefferson and Addison.
But you could get some short-sleeve shirts, plaid short-sleeve shirts down there in Atlanta.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, I don't know. Let's see. This day in sports history, Paulie.
Just got a couple. The first women's college basketball game was played ever at Smith College between students and faculty members, 1892. Mm. Babe Ruth signed a two-year contract in 1930 with the Yankees for a sum of $80,000. And Jennifer Capriati, age 13, played her first professional tennis match, 1990.
It was on this day in 2020. NBA suspends Rudy Gobert. He tested positive for COVID. Man, oh, man.
He just got himself in a little more trouble.
Yes, he did.
100K lighter, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. When you do the money sign to an official, and I'm thinking the NBA commissioner was probably doing that to Rudy Gobert. Going, it's going to cost you there. Let's go around the room what we learned on the program. Todd, what'd you learn today?
Kevin Frazier doesn't believe Oppenheimer's an all-time great, likely won't stand the test of time. It's about physicists. Physicists.
Seton O'Connor.
Kay Frage and Nichelle arguing about movies today.
Yeah, they were chopping it up a little bit.
Yeah, let's go. It's like the first take of a movie.
Oh, Marvin.
Seton said John Cena was desperate.
Yeah, I just thought he was kind of playing along with the bit.
Yeah.
It didn't seem desperate. Paulie?
Mac Jones is going back home.
Yeah, for a sixth-round draft pick. Todd, what did I learn today?
Well, we learned from you, the under-the-radar team you'd bet to make the Final Four, maybe go all the way, get a few bucks out of the Kentucky Wildcats.
TireRack.com, the official tire expert and retailer of the Dan Patrick Show. Go to TireRack.com/Dan. Try the easy-to-use tire decision guide. See the full lineup of Michelin tire special offers, free road hazard protection, mobile tire installation, TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.